We've been doing a study on David. On Sunday evenings, we've looked at David and his lineage, how it was designed by God. Remember how it wasn't a perfect line? And that, you know, we would have designed if it was the king of Israel and eventually Jesus Christ, we would have made sure it was perfect in every way. Of course, it wasn't perfect, but it was specifically designed by God. And David, of course, being the greatest king of Israel underneath, of course, Jesus Christ, who will one day sit on the throne as king. We then looked at David and his trade, and his trade was that of shepherding, and his trade was something that God purposed in his life, I believe, to prepare him for the future ministry and ruling and war and all of those things that God had for him. His trade of shepherding, where he learned much. And I do not believe that it's by accident. I believe it is on purpose, we'll say it positively. I believe it's on purpose that God uses that illustration of the shepherd and the sheep so often in the scriptures. And here David was a shepherd. Who are the sheep? Oh, that's us. That's us. Who's the shepherd? Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd, and we are the sheep that so often have gone astray. Last week, we looked at David and his promotion and how that was directed by God. And remember, what was he promoted from? From the fields to the throne room. From the fields to the throne room. And how do you describe such a promotion? It doesn't make sense. I mean, he's just a shepherd boy, described as ruddy and handsome in appearance, but the youngest in his family. In fact, he wasn't even important enough to call to the sacrifice. He was relegated to watching the sheep. And here what we see is God promotes him to king. Now, was the promotion overnight? No, it wasn't. He was anointed, and the Spirit of God came upon him from that day on. And through a period of 10, 12 some years, God sharpened and molded and shaped and beat this man into what he wanted him to be. Remember, he ran around the wilderness from Saul. All kinds of incredible difficulties, and we talked about that last week. So tonight, we're going to look at David and his music. David and his music. As you think about music, and we mention it in the context of the Bible, our minds immediately go where? Psalms. I think that's where I go when I contemplate music and the Bible, and I pair those two things together. And David is thought to have written between 75 to 80, the number varies depending on who you're talking to, about how many psalms David wrote. But nevertheless, he has written a good deal of these psalms. But before we dive into that, I want to just talk briefly about the significance of music in the scriptures. Music and singing and songs was, I believe, a way that God gave his people to connect their minds and their hearts with what he was doing in their lives. We see probably one of the first songs in Scripture in Exodus chapter 15. This is Moses, and they are singing after what great event? The crossing of the Red Sea. Now, think about that event, an incredible event. They cross through the Red Sea on dry ground, and after they get to the other side, they break out in song. Now, what are they singing about? They are singing about God and His greatness and His deliverance. It was accompanied with tambourines, and it was accompanied with dancing. You see another song by the Israelites as they come to a well in Numbers chapter 21. And again, they sing. You have Moses' song of remembrance where he is singing what he desires the people of Israel to remember. And he sings it for them in Deuteronomy 31 and 32. A song of remembrance. Of course, in Judges chapter 5, you have Deborah and you have Barak, and they have this song that they sing. We come to 2 Samuel chapter 22, and we have David's song of deliverance. David's song of deliverance. Let's just turn there briefly, 2 Samuel chapter 22. And as you're turning there, it is important for us to consider and remember that before David was on the scene, music was very much a part of worship. In fact, you have the tabernacle, and you have all of the things that were put together there, and this time in this place of worship. And Moses, being obviously a man of song, recognizing the importance of music. And so when David comes on the scene, David takes great care to incorporate, to organize with great detail the musical worship, the service that surrounds all that took place around the Ark of the Covenant and the sacrificial system. 2 Samuel in chapter 22, this was soon after the Lord delivered David from all of his enemies, including Saul. You will also find this in the book of Psalms, chapter 18, almost word for word. And 2 Samuel 22, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this psalm. In the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I'm not going to read the entire song, but obviously the song is quite lengthy, isn't it? Some of you may have a Bible that kind of sets it out as a poem. Indeed, that's what these are. And these were something that were put to music. Interesting, you don't see the chorus. It is it's almost like it's a report, or it's a description, or it is just an overflow of praise. And David just doesn't run out of things to say, to sing. And over, he sings of God, and he sings of what God has done, what God can do, and has done in his life. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, look at this interesting description of David. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. This was shortly before he died, and he was known as what? The sweet psalmist of Israel. Now, let's rewind a little bit and think about why David? Why is David so into music? What is it about him? Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel. And let's remember where David came from. He came from where? The shepherd's fields surrounding Bethlehem. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 and following, we read about Saul, the present king of Israel, is being bothered by an evil spirit, a grievous spirit. The Spirit of God has been removed from him, and the Spirit is dwelling upon David, because David's now been anointed. And so Saul is grieved by this spirit, and his servants suggest, why don't we find a musician, someone who is very skillful on the harp, verse 16. And it shall come to pass, I'm right in the middle of verse 16, it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon you that he shall play with his hand and you shall be well. Now, they understood something here about music. They understood the therapeutic nature of music. They understood that it had a quality about it that was able to connect deep within a person. And I believe a lot of us will understand that. Some of us who aren't musical at all will, you know, what is he talking about? Is that out there? No, I'm not talking about anything that's craziness. I'm just talking about with music connects with who we are, with our bodies. I mean, you've seen it when a certain beat comes on, you see people, right? Don't ask me to do it. I'm not rhythmic at all. But what do you see the connections? Because our body connects with these things. Well, here they're looking for comfort. And so what did they do? Well, one of the servants says, I know, there's this young man, a son of Jesse, of the Bethlehemite, who is, look at middle of verse 18, who is skillful, or cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What a resume! Now, I don't know, I mean, some scholars have suggested that this ought to be after the attack or the battle with Goliath because of the description, or the servant, maybe he's making David greater than he really is. I don't think that is true. Two possibilities. Either this account that we're reading about does happen after the battle with Goliath, and that really could make a lot of sense if you read chapter 17. Because at the end of chapter 17, Saul says, who is that boy? Who is that man? He didn't know him. And they had to tell him who he was. The second option, and this is just as possible, is that this description is a result of the Spirit of God being upon him. Could the Spirit of God raise this young man from a small little young boy to a valiant warrior in just a short time? Who am I to limit what the Spirit of God can do in a person? It's not that important necessarily as far as where this is placed in the story. The point is they were looking for somebody skillful in playing, and David fit the bill. He was overqualified, it seemed. But notice the last description of him was the Lord was with him. And of course, they called for David. In verse 19, notice he is called from where? 1 Samuel 16:19 says, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David your son, which is with the sheep. There's that reminder again, where he has come from. He's come from the shepherd's fields. And so they call him, and he comes and he plays before Saul, and he was very favorable in the sight of Saul, and he was very helpful in the sight of Saul in the way he played. It was a refreshment to him. David's music, it was a comfort. It was a comfort. We also need to understand some other things about David's music, and that God used David's music to, as I have already said, to further shape and strengthen the worship of God surrounding the tabernacle and eventually the temple. If you spend time, we could look at 1 Chronicles chapter 6. David, he puts men in charge of songs pertaining to worship of Jehovah. See, David had something in his mind about music. He knew music, and he knew it was important. And so he took time to make things happen that included music. He knew it was a valuable part of worship. I think this is a very good example for us as to why we include music in our worship. I think it is a very good example for David saw it as very important, and God used David to establish this organized system of musicians and singers that surrounded the worship of God. When they moved the ark, that was a parade of musicians. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. David is recognized even after he has died as the one who has organized the music of the temple. And you can look, if you look briefly at, why don't we look at it briefly, Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 12. Now who knows Nehemiah? Was that written before or after David? Well, they're coming to rebuild the what? The walls of Jerusalem. So this is after David. In fact, this is after they have gone into exile and now some have returned. And in Nehemiah chapter 12, look at verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing and with cymbals and psalteries and with harps. Look at verse 36. And his brethren, this is in the middle of a list, and his brethren Shemaiah and Azrael, Malaiah, Gilal, Mael, Nathaniel, Judah, Hananiah, with the musical instruments of whom? Of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. David here is recognized as the originator or the organizer of music in regards to worship. Well, David and his music, it was not only for comfort and not only to aid in worship, but it was also to speak of the coming Messiah. And if you spend time in the Psalms, you will understand and see that there are prophetic psalms. There are psalms that are written and they speak of the Messiah. And David wrote at least 10 of the thought 16 messianic psalms. Luke 24:44. These are the words of Jesus. I don't want you to listen to this. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is after his resurrection. I believe this is to those on the road to Emmaus. While I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And we know that the Psalms speak of Jesus. Not only is David's music used for comfort and used for inspiration and worship, but also for prophecy and also for praise. Where do you go when you want to just praise the Lord? You just need some help sometimes? I go to the Psalms. It supplies words that fail me. Psalm 9, Psalm 29, Psalm 103, Psalm 124, all written by David. Words of praise. Psalms of praise. There's laments that David wrote. Psalm 14, 60, 13, and 22. Laments about the nation. Laments about in his individual person and things that are happening. A lament is just a mourning of events and circumstances that, in the weight that he's feeling. There are psalms of confession. We know that David sinned. He committed adultery with Bathsheba in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, two examples of the heart of a man crying out as a result of his sin. Great examples if you find yourself in sin and you're just lacking the words of how to communicate with the very God that you have offended, you can go to the Psalms and read them. Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Spend some time there. Join David in his return, his repentance back to the Lord. Wisdom, Psalm 37, a wisdom psalm. So David and his music, really, in so many ways, it's God-inspired. Not just because it is Scripture, but because his music was given to him as such a ministry, a help for the rest of his people and for generations to come, even to our day. What does this mean for us? Why do we take the time to think about music tonight? To think about David and his role in music and in worship? It is because when we come to the New Testament, there are a couple passages that speak of connecting with God, and they include music. We have Ephesians chapter 5. You might as well turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we read this in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How is the New Testament church supposed to understand such a statement? Why is such a statement in the New Testament written to the church? It is because the Jewish people, they have understood the important role of music in their worship. And I dare say that all people of all time have come to understand a connection between music and worship, whether it be their false religions or it be the worship of God. We see it everywhere. We see music associated with worship. And here what we're seeing is the importance of speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. And church, I trust this is encouraging and helpful to you as you sing here, even in this gathering place. As you sing on Sundays, mornings and evenings, Wednesday evenings, you realize and understand that you're not just singing to yourself, but you are singing to the Lord, that you are connecting what's on the written page is running through your mind and in your heart, and it's expression, true expression of who you are and what you believe. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Notice here, it says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is significant. This is very important. Songs can be used as a tool to teach. And this is why we are careful in choosing the songs that we sing. You may have suggested at times a song for us to sing. We look over those songs. We just don't frivolously sing whatever. Because what we sing is really teaching things. And we have to be careful that we believe what we are singing. And not everybody that writes songs are biblical. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. You see, the church is to be, there's music is to be a part of the church, as part of teaching, part of admonishing. Again, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So I trust tonight this is an encouragement to you in regard to music. Some of you are more musical than others. But nevertheless, I believe what we see is the importance that music has in our worship of the Lord. And that we aren't afraid of it, even if we're those that are making the joyful noise. Are we singing in our heart to the Lord? David, he saw the importance of this. He, I believe, practiced his harp in the shepherd's fields, and his sheep became accustomed to that tune. It was a tune of comfort. It was a tune that God used in his heart to build generations after generations of people who love music, but people who love the Lord and see the importance of music in the worship, in their worship. Lord, I thank you for music. Even though, God, sometimes I struggle to sing it, struggle to understand it, struggle to play it, I would desperately miss it. And I'm so grateful for the gift of music. You know, what's interesting, God, just now thinking about it, is they can take our pianos, and they can take our guitars, but it would be really hard for them to take our voices. And God, in our hearts, there are songs, and there are music. There is music. And God, may we be a people who faithfully encourage and admonish and teach one another and aren't afraid to use music and to use psalms as these kinds of encouraging and teaching tools. And now, God, as we take time now to celebrate the Lord's Supper, what a joy and a privilege this is to remember Jesus Christ, what you've done for us, your body that hung on the cross, the blood that was shed. And we praise you, Lord. Guide us and help us now as we meditate upon you. May we remember you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.